I was born a killer, yeah. I was meant to win, yes. I am down and willing, so I will find a way, yeah. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away, yeah. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay, yeah. That's how it winners made, yeah. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate, yeah. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit of flames. I switch my style up, what's the money pile up? I'm a garage.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Podcast, presenting the athletes of the semifinals. Today, we are so privileged to have with us Max Krieg. Max, what's going on, man?
Not much. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, excited to have you on. It's funny, last year, my co-host for my Thursday night show, Jamie Latimer, had you pegged as the her dark horse to make the games last year out of semifinals.
Wow.
And so because of that, we watched you very closely last year at semis. And she actually interviewed you after one of the events. I don't know if you remember that.
I do. I was pretty smoked, and I probably didn't make much sense in the interview, but I remember it.
Yeah, if I remember, you still had your ruck on from the ruck muscle-up workout, right?
Yep.
Yeah. What I find fascinating with you, and this has nothing to do with CrossFit, is you look completely different with the mustache than without the mustache.
Thank you. Yeah, this is only 2 weeks strong right now. It's calling up my semifinal stash. I had one last year, and I'll grow it out every once in a while just for fun. I'm in the military, so we can't really like grow out much facial hair except for a mustache. So it's fun to grow it out every once in a while. And I grew it out last year. Exceeded my expectations at semifinals. So figured I'd grow it out again this year and see what happens.
Jake Chapman says, Max looks like a World War II Army captain called John Stanley.
Thanks, Jake.
We also have a guy in the chat. I don't know if you know him, Corey Leonard.
Yeah, I just love that guy.
He loves Max, and we'll probably see him this weekend at Franco's.
Yep. I will be there.
So Corey's been a longtime listener. He was actually my roommate at the Masters Fitness Collective. When I got to kind of see his first ever big competition, and we couldn't be more stoked that he's actually going to get to compete in semifinals in the Masters division this weekend.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited to see him throw down.
Yeah. What a funny guy.
And so I don't know if you've heard of the Southland competitors camp that Brandon Luckett puts on. I met Corey there, and somehow me and him always end up sitting next to each other during the seminars, and we're just having a good time the whole time, just messing around, and he's a fun guy to be around.
So that's truly how Corey and I kind of got to know each other, is through the Southland group. And the way I know the Southland group is I live 3 miles from Rudy Berger.
Okay.
And so I covered him last season through the Open and semifinals, did little mini documentaries of that. And he talked about the group down at Southland and how him and Lynette go down there and hang out with Brandon and the crew and how much they love it. And that's how I got introduced to Corey. And then we actually met in person for the first time at Masters Fitness Collective.
Okay. Awesome. Well, yeah, small world. And funny that you say that. The burgers are awesome. I met them at competitors camp, I think three competitors camps ago. I saw them at Wadapalooza briefly, and then saw them at the most recent competitors camp. And when I was doing quarterfinals this year, a couple people recommended that I get a coach, and I haven't had a coach up until, I mean, very recently. And so I'm a very analytical person, and I appreciate people who are very analytical with sport and kind of a student of the sport. And so when I was thinking about getting a coach, the first person I thought of was Lynette. And I'm sure, like, as you've like interviewed and talked to Rudy and kind of like seen their process, their coach athlete relationship, obviously they're married. But like the way that Lynette approaches the coaching process and the way she analyzes everything that Rudy does, she was the first person that came in my mind. So very recently I reached out to her, I think like a week and a half ago. And so she's actually going to be coming out to semifinals with me, to be my coach. And I'm super excited to work with her. And so far we've just been talking back and forth, texting, she's awesome.
Wow. Breaking news right here on the screen. That's awesome. She's one of the most analytical people, I've ever met. She always says when I talk to her, you know how we're data driven. Like, I think she, prefaces every statement with that. And I'm actually going to be over there with them this weekend. While you're hanging out with Corey, I'll be hanging out with them. Because we do like new shows, I need to see the workouts to be able to talk about them. And who better to watch do the age group workouts than two-time champ Rudy Berger?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, so I'm going to hang out with them this weekend, and that's super cool. She's the best. And she leaves no stone unturned, for sure.
Yeah.
And didn't she program the last competitors camp?
I don't know if it was her or Brandon or a mix between the two.
Yeah. So just some follow-up stuff. Corey said, it's great when you guys hang out because we don't pay attention to shit and that gets to the shit that gets said, but we have fun.
Yeah. Sounds like Corey.
Yeah. And he also echoes, Lynette is the best. Cannot express how awesome she is. There was a group that came up to MFC with Corey, and Lynette took them all under her wing and made sure they were all fed, that they were all eating right, that they were all getting taken care of, even though they didn't have any coaches with them that weekend. That's just who she is. Mm-hmm. So how did you find that competitors camp down there? How did you get pulled in? And why is it such a good thing for you?
So I got pulled in from one of my buddies that I work out at Panama City CrossFit with, Tyler Hill. And he's a photographer in the CrossFit space. He's very tapped in to everything that's going on. As you can tell from my Instagram, I'm pretty bad at social media. And so I often rely on others to kind of like keep me up to speed with what's going on. He knew that I was someone who had high aspirations for CrossFit. And he kind of saw how I was analytical about things and I was pretty deliberate with the process. When he saw this competitors camp pop up, he brought it up to me. He said like, hey, this is something I think you'd really like. So him and his wife went to the first competitors camp, or our first competitors camp. I think it was the second one that they hosted, and met Brandon, met the whole team there, met Roy, the owner of CrossFit Franco's, and met a lot of great athletes. Like Scott Tetla was there. Who else was there? Bill Leahy was there. Alexis Johnson was one of the coaches helping out. And so this was really my first exposure to high level CrossFit athletes and being able to like pick their brain for an extended period of time and really like tap into some of that knowledge. And I try to take it as much advantage as I could. And so I would say, to answer your second question, like what did that competitors camp mean to me? I wouldn't be where I am right now without the competitors camp. And I would say mostly like without Brandon Luckett. I'm someone who does better if I have people to the left and the right of me pushing me. And I knew that with the upcoming quarterfinals. So this would have been quarterfinals in 2023 last year. I asked Brandon if I could do the quarterfinals with him. He said, absolutely. You can stay in my house. And this is like I had met him for, I had known him for like 3 hours. He's like, yeah, do the quarterfinals with me, stay at my house. Which was awesome. And so, yeah, I just got to know Brandon better, and the community, around that competitors camp. And since then, like, it's just been a really good family and, just group of, people with a lot of knowledge in the space, that I've been able to tap into and learn from.
So the more I'm learning about this group, and I've met a lot of them, it's almost like CrossFit for nerds. Like, I think I'd fit right in. Like Alexis Johnson is like supercomputer math whiz, right? Brandon is super analytical. The burgers, we've talked about them. Even Scott Tetlow is very, like, he is so regimented because he has so little time. His efficiency is like through the roof. Is it a bunch of like-minded people like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then how the hell does Corey fit in? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who gave him an invite to that camp.
Well, that's super cool. And like, people like Brandon don't come around every day to have like just dudes that are that good. How cool is it to see how well he's doing this season?
Awesome.
I thought he was supposed to be retired.
I think he's retired like 3 or 4 times now, but then he just realizes how much he loves it. He's more of a competitor than anyone I know. So he loves getting after it. And I think every time he thinks he's at the end of the road, he wants to retire, then he just is reminded like how much he likes competing, and then he's back in it. And so it's really cool to see him at the top of the leaderboard for both the Open and the quarterfinals. And these semifinals workouts, this whole CrossFit season so far have been like pretty basic and gritty. And that's where Brandon thrives. And I don't think it's any different with the semifinals workouts for the most part. I think he's going to thrive at semifinals as well.
Yeah. With this year's semifinals, it's so old school CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no pulling weights on a napkin. There's no weird ruck muscle ups. There's no like new movements. It is just good old fashioned triplets, couplets, and get after it. Go dark.
Yep.
Do you think that plays to your favor?
I do, for the most part. I think I do best in the workouts that, where like you really have to hurt for the most part. Like historically I've done good with, just like basic movements, especially like on machines. Maybe being a bigger athlete helps as well. I think that part of my game, will be beneficial with like the workouts that we see at semifinals. I will also say that I enjoy like brand new things that come out, because I think I relative to the field, I adapt pretty well to like brand new things that come out. So like in quarterfinals, like I liked it when they did the crossovers for the first time. I liked the fact that there was a ruck for the muscle ups. I guess it's kind of like, that's kind of a gray answer. I do and I don't.
This is going to be a weird question. Do you think you'd be a better games athlete than a semifinal athlete?
Maybe. I think, I mean, like looking at my background, I played field sports growing up. I don't have any fitness in my background. Like, I wasn't a gymnast. I wasn't an Olympic lifter. So I think those types of things, if people have a background with fitness related things, they do better in the gym. And then I would say with my background, I do better when we like start to get outside the gym, especially like the past few years, like if they have the amount of running that they have at the games, like I like to run. So like that, I like to swim. Like if they were to do some like stuff like paddle boarding or kayaking, I think I would do pretty well at that. So I think so.
Well, and I think the underestimated part of the games are it's a long weekend. It's a longer weekend than any other competition you're going to go to. And you're going to have ups and downs throughout that weekend. And if you've played team sports, like that's generally something you've had to endure at some point in your life.
Yeah, definitely had my fair shares of ups and downs.
Yeah. And so I've listened to a lot of Rich Froning in the past 24 hours. And like, he's a big team sports guy. And it seems like that helped him a tremendous amount when he was competing.
Yeah.
I think Corey just wants to take over the interview, but he said the Taylor Swift shirts he works out in also help him a bunch.
Yeah, they give me special powers.
Are you a Swiftie?
Absolutely. Not a recent Swiftie.
I was old school.
Sophomore year of high school is when I really got into Taylor Swift. We'd always listen to her during art class. And then that's when my love for Taylor grew. I was part of the T-Swift Appreciation Society in high school. No big deal. And then when I met my wife, Meg, she, like, I think I'm a pretty big Swiftie, but she's much more than I am. She's always at the top of the Spotify charts, like 0.5% of the listeners every year. And so I think that's something that like we connected with. And then, so we just listen to Taylor Swift all the time.
Are you a Chiefs fan now?
I appreciate greatness. So nothing to do with T-Swift, but I like greatness. And I really appreciate people that can repeatedly win at a high level. More so than like an underdog. So for that reason, I like the Chiefs. NFL might've overdid the whole like media with T Swift, and Travis. So.
Yeah. I must be opposite of you. Cause I'm a Chicago Bears fan and I haven't seen greatness in 30 years.
Stay strong.
I'm hoping that this could be the year. I've said that in other years, but it is actually looking good for a change. So back to you. I don't even know where we were. So you're active military. You were part of the Army Warrior Fitness Group. Are you still a part of that?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? It's become so popular. And I mean, I've seen them at I live here in Columbus, Ohio. I've seen them at the Army or the Arnold Fitness Expo come do competitions here. What's it like to travel just doing fitness?
It's pretty cool. So the team has two components to it. They have in-person athletes. So those are athletes stationed at Fort Knox that fall under recruiting command. And then they have at-large athletes. I'm currently an at-large athlete. With that, you continue to do whatever job you have in the military. But you can go on trips that the military will fund, that the Army will fund, to support the Warrior Fitness team. So I'm not like an in-person athlete yet. That'll be my next assignment, in August. But yeah, it's a really cool experience to be a part of the Warrior Fitness team. Like I said, we fall under recruiting command and really like the whole point of it is to show people that are interested in joining the military that, you know, it's a lot more than just suiting up and going on the front lines and shooting. The people in the military are normal people just like me and you. They have hobbies just like me and you. And there's a lot of opportunities other than that small tunnel that vision that like people get when they think like this is the only thing in the Army.
What is your current occupation?
I'm a diver.
Nice. And are you in the Panhandle?
Right now I'm stationed at NSA Panama City at the Navy dive school here.
Okay. So are you Army or Navy?
I'm Army.
Okay. But stationed at a Navy base.
Yeah. So pretty much every military diver goes through the, it's called NDSTC, Naval Diving and Salvage Training Center here in Panama City. The only exceptions to that are Navy SEALs who go through their training in San Diego, and then Army combat divers that go through a separate school in Key West. But everyone else, so that includes Army engineer divers, which is what I do, Navy divers, Navy EOD divers, Marine combatant divers, Air Force combat divers, and Coast Guard divers. They all come through NDSTC. And so it's a really cool melting pot of a bunch of different branches, a bunch of different types of jobs. Because at the end of the day, military diving is military diving. So mostly everyone goes through the same basic curriculum to start out, and then we'll branch off into our specific specialties.
Are you still in training, or have you actually done it as part of your job already?
I've done it. So I went through dive school back in 2018. And then I've been a diver since. And right now I'm back here as an instructor.
That's really cool. I was a collegiate swimmer, and I always wanted to like do some diving, and just never was in a location where it made sense. I've taken some classes and done it in a pool, but never like in the ocean.
You gotta go. It's awesome.
Yeah. My cousin, who's like a brother to me, is in the Navy stationed in Pensacola.
Okay.
So what, an hour from you guys?
Yeah.
Like Panhandle.
2 hours or so, two and a half hours. So
but he ended up getting sick on a dive and had to stop.
Oh really? Like he got the bends, decompression sick?
Yeah. Yeah. And he ended up be working for the Naval Hospital in Pensacola.
Okay.
So yeah. Sorry. So we get into this season. You're coming off last year where, again, I think I told you maybe before we got online that my co-host Jamie picked you as a dark horse to come out of the West. And so we were watching you very closely, and you were close to getting that shot there. It wasn't a huge point difference away from you qualifying. What have you changed in the off season to give you that better shot at making the games?
I analyzed my performances throughout the year and kind of saw the things that I like major weaknesses. And these are things that I kind of already knew, but just like competing on a big stage, like semifinals, and then seeing where you fall compared to some of the big boys out there, kind of just like reemphasizes the things you need to work on. So I did that. I reached out to several people that, again, I thought do a very good job of being students of the game. That was Brent Fikowski, Patrick Vellner, and then Josh, who's one of the coaches at HWPO. I can't remember his last name right now. And just like showed them like my performances and these are my strengths and weaknesses, what I think I need to work on. And then just and Brandon Luckett, obviously reached out to him. Just kind of get some insight on some of the strategies that they've used to tackle their weaknesses and see what their recommendations were. And specifically, if you look at my performances at semifinals, the snatch event was my worst event. And then followed by the event that had overhead squats, rowing, pirouettes, handstand pushups, rope climbs. So overhead endurance has always been something that I've struggled with. And so I tackled that by taking a break from CrossFit. I did Olympic lifting pretty much. Like, I didn't touch a Metcon from the NSMI finals until December. I did a few Olympic lifting cycles. I reached out to a local weightlifting coach here, Aaron Paley. Shout out to him. He's awesome. And I worked with him. And then, so I would do that in the morning, and in the afternoon, I would do different like gymnastics progressions on things that I need to work on. So like I said, overhead endurance is something that I've struggled with in the past. So anything from like handstand walking to handstand pushups, ring muscle ups are something I've struggled with in the past. So I did a lot of work with those, and try to like break that down and strengthen different aspects of that movement. Something that Brent Fikowski brought up is that my mobility is not the best. So if you think about it, like if I'm doing a handstand walk, because I'm not completely stacked, my movement is a lot less efficient than someone like Danielle Brandon, who's like perfectly stacked. And so I worked a lot on overhead mobility this off season, and just like mobility all around. Like if you look at my snatch, like my ability to get down into the hole isn't as good as a lot of athletes, which means that I have to pull the bar an extra couple inches. So just like the little things like that. So really try to hammer those weaknesses. And then come December, I started incorporating more CrossFit style training and Metcons, hop back on to, I followed Mayhem Programming. So followed back on, onto Mayhem Programming and started doing that in preparation for the season. And then the other thing was just my lack of experience with CrossFit competitions. So something that I think all of them, so Brent, Pat, and Josh, and Brandon said that I needed to do was gain more experience, because part of my performance at semifinals this past year, like went down towards the end of the weekend. Because I think I was just like I'm not that nervous of a person typically. Like I don't get that anxious about things, but I think my central nervous system was just so taxed by the end of the weekend because I was just nervous about everything. Which like, I'm sure there's a lot of factors that go into it, but a lot of that has to do with lack of experience. And so one of the things that they hammered was that I need more experience with CrossFit competitions and competing at a high level with good athletes. Sorry. This last off season, I did Crash Crucible. I did Wadapalooza. And those were kind of like my two competitions that I did. And I knew like a Crash Crucible, like I said, I wasn't really doing CrossFit at all. I was pretty much like Olympic lifting. And then I tried each of the events once before I went to Crash Crucible, but like I was not in good CrossFit shape at all and definitely felt it. And even at Wadapalooza, like I was getting back into training, but still like not feeling like I was in the best CrossFit shape, but like I kind of had to swallow my pride a little bit and know that that was going to be a reality, that my performance wouldn't be the best, but I could still get that experience of competing with people. So that was kind of my approach to the off season.
So Jay Birch asks, was it Josh Godinez?
Probably.
Okay. A Wad Zombie with the joke. If you want to learn how to dive, watch soccer.
All right. You used to play soccer.
So when you look at the events that have come out already, does the snatch ladder make you nervous, or does the snatch ladder make you excited because you get to show what you've learned in the off season?
Both. I think I've, I mean, being realistic, like that will not be my best event at semifinals. Like I don't like that. Like I'd rather have a bunch of home run events. But to your point, like I am excited to see like really where I'm at and like the hard work that I put in the off season. See how much it paid off. Cause like you can hit certain numbers in training and like get a good gauge of where you're at. But it's not really until like you put yourself to the test in a real competition until you really see like where you're at and where that hard work has landed you.
Is a ladder like that better for you, or would you rather just line up and do a one rep?
It's definitely better for me. And I think the fact that it's on the last day is also better for me, because I think that everybody's going to be sore and tired. So it, and I think I recover pretty well. So I have that going for me. And then the fact that it's the last day, I think that levels the playing field a little bit, as opposed to if it was day one and everyone was fresh and everyone's going for a one rep max snatch, probably wouldn't bode as well for me.
Yeah. I was at the West Coast Classic in 21 when that first came out, and, or when it, the second time they did it. And it was like event one or two, and people were flying, like flying on that snatch ladder. It's going to be interesting to see this year how it's going to be on day three.
Yeah. Especially when you're running 2.5 miles, doing 50 clean and jerks, 50 front squats at 225, people are going to, the legs are going to be sore.
Yeah. Yeah. And even it fresh, it, so many races came out of that event, like people racing over that last bar to beat each other out. I love the event as a spectator. It's so fun to watch. So I'm anxious for it.
Yeah.
Is there any home run workout that you can't wait to get a hold of?
I usually do pretty good in running events. So I think the first one will be pretty good for me. I like legless rope climbs and machines. So the Echo Bike, legless rope climb, box jump over, workout will be pretty good for me. I'm excited to see how the rowing handstand walk, like what that event actually consists of. I know a lot of people are speculating that there's going to be some obstacles as part of it. So depending on how that looks, I think the ratio of rowing to handstand walk is like pretty good on the rowing side, which helps me out as opposed to if it was just like a handstand walk gymnastics workout. So that could potentially be a good event for me as well.
You're going to be outside this year. Does that make it better or worse for you?
I'm never opposed to getting some vitamin D. I'd have to look. I haven't even looked at the weather in Carson right now. I would assume this time of year, it's not that bad. So,
yeah, I assuming always gets me in trouble.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I haven't looked myself. Wad Zombie actually lives there. So if he wants to give us a forecast for now in the next 3 weeks, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So what is a realistic goal for this season?
The goal is to make the games. And I think that that's realistic. My goal last year was just to make semifinals, and I definitely exceeded my expectations by coming in 15th. So looking at last year's performance, seeing that I was 6 spots out from qualifying, I think it's a realistic goal, and we'll see how it goes.
Corey just checked, currently 67 and sunny in Carson. Yeah,
so not bad. And you got the dry heat, so it's not too humid. And I'm originally from California, so maybe like somewhere in the back of me, my body is used to being outside in California.
Wad Zombie says it's beautiful today, sunny, 75 to 80 degrees. Should be the same at the end of the month. Last year was cloudy, though.
Excellent.
So is that why you compete in the West? Because you're from California?
No, just because I really wanted to do the season at Franco so I can be with guys like Brandon Luckett and people who compete at such a high level. And like I said, I do better when I train and like compete with people who are better than me. So that's why I affiliated at Franco's and why I work out there and train there so much.
Okay. Yeah. I wish they would just, I don't know. I wish they'd come up with a way to just split the country in half and each side get the same number of invites and you just split them up so it's even. But because it's hard to figure out who's where.
Yeah.
Until I see the leaderboard.
And they'll change it. They'll change it again next year.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Nothing ever stays the same in CrossFit.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing this? Like, when did you start CrossFit?
I started in 2018 when I was coming through dive school here. Did it for half a year. Then tore my meniscus snatching because I didn't have the mobility or the technique to do it. And I was just doing a lot more weight than I had any business doing. That put me out. That was a pretty bad injury. It put me out for probably a year and a half to 2 years where I was still doing some like CrossFit type stuff, but like there was a lot I couldn't do. And then, so I did the open in 2018 and then I didn't do a season again until 21. Did the open and quarterfinals 21, 22. And then last year, was the first time I qualified for semis. So a few years.
So you haven't been like full on CrossFitting for very long at all. Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. You've come pretty far, pretty fast and you're surrounded by a good group of people. This has been a lot of fun, Max.
Yeah. Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. Thank you to everybody in the chat for being here. Good luck at semis and, we'll be watching and rooting, man.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. And, I love that the podcast is presented by Thick Boy. I met him at, Beach Ball this last year and I love his shirts. So shout out to Thick Boy. He's got some funny shirts and I got one myself, but it's a little inappropriate. So I won't tell you what it is.
Yeah, he has some good fun shirts. And he sponsors this podcast. He just started this is our first month with him. And go to thickboy.fit. You can pick out your own inappropriate t-shirt and get that ordered and sent right to your house.
Awesome.
Thanks a bunch, Max. And we'll see everybody next time on Clydesdale Media Podcast featuring the athletes of the semifinals. Bye, guys. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCore are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.